This is part two of a collaboration with Dr. Garrett Ryan of the Tolden Stone YouTube channel, linked to part one in the description below. One of my go-to channels for history content. History and archaeology is, after all, my second love after science. As Garrett detailed in his video, the Greco-Roman world saw futurism very differently than we do today. They saw the future in terms of culture and politics. We, however, live in a very different world, post-industrial revolution, where a rapidly advancing technology outpaces any other period in human history. In the modern age, we think of the future centered on the advancement of technology. It is our reality, but in the past, not so much. While the ancients saw the future as cyclic, and indeed 4th century Roman emperors minted coins, proudly emblazoned with the legend Felicitas Temporum Reparatio, welcoming back the return of happy times, when that wasn't entirely the case. And also coins depicting victory, when again, that wasn't always the case. Today, we tend to see predicting the future colored largely by the last century of our development. Make no mistake, our rate of technological advance over just 100 years has no precedent in human history. You can see this in many areas of recent humanity. The usual example is that we went from the Wright brothers and the pioneers of early flight to the Apollo 11 landing on the moon in significantly less than a century. A lot happened between 1903 and 1969. But there are other examples. Anyone that remembers flip phones might remember the talk about how similar they were to Captain Kirk's communicator in the original Star Trek series, a kind of prediction in the late 60s of a near future technology. But we've blown past that. There's very little sci-fi from decades ago that resembles smartphones. And how a telephone, something that used to be a device for speaking at a distance over phone lines, would become a handheld supercomputer that would send numerous other technologies into obsolescence. But there were visionaries. Indeed, Arthur C. Clarke famously predicted online banking decades before the infrastructure needed to do that was in place. Another prime example would be H.G. Wells predicting something like a nuclear bomb in The World Set Free. But the reality is, in the ancient world, no one could have predicted our civilization today. Indeed, no one 200 years ago could have predicted it, even though technological innovation was already greatly at play, especially in the technology of warfare. For example, the 19th century saw the evolution from flintlock rifles that could fire a round a minute to machine guns that fire 600 rounds a minute in only about 60 years. Interestingly, where futurism gets things wrong very often is when trying to predict outside of technology. Predicting political change and the unfolding of history requires more than just extrapolating technological advance. Indeed, in some sectors, we still think in terms of coming better times as futurism, as in the Soviet-era futurism once did. But there's also the question of whether we are overplaying our hand in our predictions of what may come to pass. There are always unknowns, and one involves potential blocks to future technologies that might prevent some of the current predictions futurists make. An example of this is direct brain-to-computer interfaces. One can tell oneself a story that this technology will be all-encompassing within decades and will have such things as mind-to-mind direct communication, and there are efforts to explore this, and the medical uses of it are beyond measure. But to present the opposite argument, we really only have a rudimentary understanding of the human brain. It's possible we may never have a complete understanding of it sufficient to allow for a seamless, real interbrain connection. And even if we could, there's no guarantee that thought-to-thought communication would be better than verbal, or more desirable. It may not be. Indeed, it may be so intrusive no one wants it. Such things could easily become the stuff of nightmares if you think about it. This can be likened to the ancient empires of old. We may live in a time of technological trend empires, where certain technologies are pursued for a time and then ultimately abandoned for lack of practicality in the real world. There was a time, for example, during the atomic age where it was envisioned that nuclear detonations could be used to dig canals in a grand nuclear excavation for the benefit of mankind. Obviously, this was not a good idea, and didn't take into account the peripheral costs of such an endeavor. There are things we could be doing with existing technologies that we do not, and the future may end up the same way. This is particularly relevant to things like artificial intelligence. We're not yet close to any danger zones with that technology, but there may come a day when we are, and the end result is that we simply choose not to take that technology to its furthest extent. Use AI for what it's useful for, as opposed to creating an AI so capable it could become the new immortal Earth Emperor. One does not need to build the AI version of Napoleon Bonaparte to do the job of Albert Einstein. But here a major question lurks, whether we will someday see technological stagnation. And once again, when pondering the future, we return to the thinking of the Greco-Roman world, hoping perhaps for a restoration of better times. This can happen in several potential ways. One is that we eventually hit a technological brick wall and we can't push technological development any further due to expense or it's simply being beyond our ability to advance any further. Another option is if we simply decide to stop technological advancement, if it's no longer doing us any real good, or even more, to avoid hitting the proverbial singularity where technological advancement gets into incomprehensible territory. We may also see a future where innovation stagnates due to a kind of utopian future where all jobs are automated, and humans turn towards virtual realities and stop pursuing technology beyond that. Because most of life is lived in VR, and there are huge differences between real technologies and virtual technologies. One does not need a television when they live in the Matrix. It has its own virtual ones. And they may even be better. But that offers a rather odd possibility, that of virtual reality resurrections of ancient cultures. If one wants to live in the age of the Caesars, recreate it. Virtually any period of human history can be reconstructed, but only so far as what we have in the historical record. These simulations would be approximations of history, incorporating what we know and approximating the rest. Julius Caesar indeed could never have envisioned that some likeness of him would exist again in the future. In some strange way, the Greco-Roman view of the future ultimately will come true, and the prosperous times they once enjoyed will come back in the form of a virtual reality reconstruction of their times. And that goes for us as well. At some point in the future with perfected virtual reality, someone may choose to resurrect our times. With our increasing amount of records and data, a trend that's not going to stop, our time period would be the first age that could be reconstructed with a high degree of accuracy and precision in virtual reality. Ostensibly to the point that if you were to transport yourself 1,000 years into the future and enter such a reconstruction, you would very likely recognize most, if not all of it, almost indistinguishable from your own time. The mistakes would generally be minor, so long as the data from this time period is preserved indefinitely. As strange as it may seem, simulations of us, or at least a few of us, are likely to be a part of the future, and not too distantly as virtual reality technology improves. Much has been made of the ability to use artificial intelligence and machine learning and a huge amount of accumulated data taken during life to recreate people after they pass away. Some form of this is coming, but in reality already exists in a rudimentary form through photographs and videos. It's just not yet widely available as next level interactive. This is something the ancients could not have foreseen or understood, but perhaps it might represent in some way their ultimate dreaming of the future. The current world, for all its faults and problems, is better than what came before it. The return of happy times that they so wished for, at times, was in fact an accurate prediction. The best of times lay ahead for the Romans and Greeks. An age of astonishing technology and space travel lay ahead, without them being able to envision it. It would become a modern world where you can travel anywhere in the world on an aircraft in less time than a Roman could do on foot walking to a nearby town. Medical science would dramatically extend the average human lifespan, nutrition would improve, agriculture would improve, and an entire hemisphere of the world would be discovered with its peoples, foods, customs, and many other things the Romans couldn't have dreamed of. The food is particularly interesting as an aside. If you showed someone from 1st century Rome a potato, a turkey, a tomato, a chili pepper, or an ear of corn, they wouldn't even know it was food until you told them. It works the same for the Americas. Show a Mayan some broccoli or an olive, and it would be the same result. So maybe in the end, history really is cyclic, just not in the way anyone had ever envisioned. Ancient empires get resurrected in virtual reality. We sort of already do it with period piece movies. And times of the past do return. But in the spirit of Spooky October, I leave you with this thought. Is there an upper limit to what can be reconstructed? If you don't know you're in a reconstruction, then you won't know what's inaccurate about it. This means it becomes a simulation. In specific, an ancestor simulation. And if that's the case, as pointed out famously by Nick Bostrom, then one of three things must be true. Number one, the number of civilizations capable of creating an ancestor simulation is almost zero. Number two, highly advanced alien civilizations don't or can't run such simulations. Or number three, we already live in a historical simulation of a universe of sorts. A cyclic universe, indeed. Thanks for listening. I am futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently thanking Tolden Stone for a fun crossover collab. Link to that channel in the description below. But you can also hear a conversation I recently had with Garrett on my other channel, Event Horizon. Link also in the description below, where we had a wonderful conversation about history, a nice break from the usual witty astrophysics. And be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.